There was a period in world's history that commonly is called the Dark Ages. It came after the collapse of the Roman Empire. And society decayed for centuries. Compared to earlier periods, very little was written in the period that they called the Dark Ages. There wasn't that there wasn't anything written, but just compared to what was done earlier, there seemed to be a drought of writing. There was very little advancement in knowledge and ideas being made. The education of the populace as a whole diminished. And religious knowledge even definitely decayed as the Roman Catholic Church took control of Europe and basically limited study of the Bible to only the priest. So what the common people knew was just basically what they were told, not what they had learned on their own. During that period too, large cities shrank while rural communities thrived, which might have not been a bad thing. But overall, it seemed like society had stagnated. And one of the things that we should learn from that is that we have a need to learn. There is a thing in mankind that we should, to thrive, to prosper, we need to learn things. In Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs 3 talks about our need to learn wisdom. And starting at verse 21, Proverbs 3 and starting at verse 21, "My son, let not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so that they will be light to your soul and adornment to your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your feet from being caught." Knowing things, learning things, wisdom especially, it makes us look better. It gives us security. It gives us confidence. We know what we ought to do. And if we understand that, then we need to search to learn from God. Going back to Proverbs chapter 2 and in verse 1. "My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Therein is the source of knowledge, is God." Oh, we talk about how we learn various things and we figure things out. But what we're figuring out is what God has gave us, what God has taught us. And I have one of those wonderful technical problems. There it goes. God has given it to us and is worth searching for. It's worth learning. In fact, it's worth everything that we have. In Proverbs 23, Proverbs 23 and verse 23. "Buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding." It's something that's worth giving everything we have for, because we gain so much more. And it's not just in general, it's a part of what Christianity is about. Our growth comes from gaining knowledge. In 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And in verse 5. It says, "Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. We have to gain in our knowledge. It's a part of our Christianity. It's a part of our growth. It's as important as growing our love. It's as important as developing our morality. In fact, Paul told us in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and starting with verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Paul's prayer was that they would have knowledge, that it would increase, along with wisdom and understanding. It's not just for them. Paul himself also wanted to increase in it. In Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3 verse 7. It says, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them all but rubbish, so that I might gain Christ, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. The foundations then come from our knowledge of God. And notice how he says, if I know my Lord, I'll gain Christ. And he continues on. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. If I'm going to reach heaven, I have to increase what I know. In fact, it should be something that we boast about. We don't boast about much. We shouldn't be boasting about ourselves. But take a look at Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. And in verse 23. Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not the rich man boast of his riches, but let him boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for I delight in these things, declares the Lord. Mateo and I were discussing what know means. Not the word N-O, but the know. What does it mean to actually know Christ? What does it mean to actually know somebody? To be intimately acquainted with them. Not just a passing, oh, I know their name. But really understanding who a person is. That's what God wants us to know about him. To really have a grasp of who God is. To understand him as like a close friend. But you know, all that learning can only be gained if we put it into practice. In James chapter 1, James chapter 1 and verse 22. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone who is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Therein was, again, it's more than just book learning. It's more than just a passing understanding. It's something that we actually apply to our lives that changes who we are. And when we practice it, then we recognize the true teachings of Christ. So many people claim to have knowledge of the Bible. But you look at their lives and you realize they really don't understand it. Take a look at John chapter 7. John chapter 7 and verse 16. So Jesus answered them and said, "My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone is willing to do his will, he will know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak for myself." I still remember a time when I was in college and sitting in a class, just decided to take for fun an introduction to New Testament Christianity that taught on a secular campus. I was just curious what they would actually teach. And I know it probably gave that poor teacher quite a hard time during that class, because I kept pointing out flaws in her reasoning. But what was interesting is, I think on the second or third week of the class, some of the other students also got bold enough to start pointing out some things. And I suddenly realized, you know, the girl that's sitting right behind me, she's a Christian. She never said it. Not directly. And I turned around and I introduced myself, and I found out, yeah, she was a member of the church. Just another one across town. Never had met her before. There's something about people who really understand the Bible that's recognizable. And when you talk to other people, you realize these are people who know the Scriptures. That's what Jesus is talking about here. Learning without doing ends up leaving us weak. We have to apply it. It has to be a part of who we are. In Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. And in verse 13. "For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." It is by applying it that we then become wise enough to see the difference. And the result of it all is our freedom from sin. Going back to John 8 and verse 31. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, then you truly are my disciples, or disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." But we got to mention that there are dangers in knowledge. There's good things that happen when we learn. We got to be careful that there are also things that can become dangerous. One of the problems that comes up is we get prideful in what we know, instead of realizing how much more we need to learn. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul makes a mention of that type of problem. "Now concerning things sacrificed to idols, we know that we have all knowledge. Knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies." When you think you know it all, I guess then you become a know-it-all. You become prideful. We got to be careful of that. We have to realize how much we actually need to learn. And also, we got to realize, as we learn, we're going to realize we can't solve the world's problems. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And in verse 18, Because in much wisdom, there is much grief. And increasing knowledge results in increasing pain. Why? Because we realize how much needs to be changed, how much needs to be fixed, and we don't have the capability to do it. We also have to realize the amount of things that we could learn beyond our capability of doing it in our short life. Solomon pointed out in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 12, he said, "Beyond this, my son, be warned. The writing of many books is endless, and excessive devotion to books is wearying to the soul." You can spend all your time learning, but as we mentioned earlier, you've got to start doing it. You'll never know it all. Sometimes people look at the problems that comes with knowledge and decide, well, you know what? Ignorance is bliss. I'd just rather not know all the problems in the world. But again, Ecclesiastes tells us in Ecclesiastes 2 and in verse 13, "I saw that wisdom excels folly, as light excels darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. And yet I know one fate befalls them all." Wisdom is far better. Just like light's much better than dark. But it doesn't change the end result. We still end up dying. We still end up facing God. The problem with foolishness is it feeds on itself. And it seems to be well illustrated as time goes on, at least in my life. I see so many people just gobbling up things that you know are just absolutely foolish. And it just builds on it. And builds on each other. In Proverbs chapter 15, in verse 14, it says, "The mind of the intelligent seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on folly." People who really don't understand search out what they prefer instead of what they need. And so they end up just building up on, it's like somebody who's stuck on a sugar diet. They go chasing after all the sugar, but they just don't get the protein and the other stuff they need. Oh, it tastes good, but it's not good for you. The fool does it with foolishness because it matches his expectation. It feeds his ego. It makes him think like, oh, I really am important. I really am knowledgeable. Because, hey, this stuff agrees with me. And so what ends up happening is a lot of fools end up rather hearing lies than hearing the truth. Along with that, in Proverbs 18, look at verse 13. It says, "He who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him." This is another problem that foolish people have. They think they know the answers, so they're quick to give you an answer before they hear all the facts. How many times do you hear all that on the news? Something happens, and now everybody's getting all upset about some victim somewhere. What's all the facts? Did the person do anything? Always it seems that the guy's made out to be some casual, just walking down the street, and just happen to be, say, like, knocked over by the cops. How do you know? We have so a dearth of information, and yet people make conclusions. And usually it turns out, you know, 3 or 4 months later, we find out, oh, the guy was high on drugs, it was this and that. He had just left a scene of a robbery. People make conclusions. They feed on it. They jump to it. The fool has his mind already made up. That's what we're seeing, for instance, in the legislature. Right now, they want to get rid of the cops. Why? Their mind's already made up. They've already decided that they're evil for some reason. I can guess what the reason is, but they have made up their mind. And oh, don't confuse them with facts. That's why you see when somebody posts on Facebook lately, they put it on, Fat Checker says. They don't want to hear contrary opinions. They won't want contrary opinions spread. Don't confuse them. They like their world the way they decide the world should be. And fools don't like to be corrected either. Take a look at Proverbs 15, verse 5. A fool rejects his father's discipline, but he who regards reproof is sensible. Fools don't want to think they're ever wrong. And so they don't want to be corrected. We got to think about whether we want to be wise or to be a fool. Now, remaining a fool is easy, but it'll ruin your life. Learning requires effort. But of course, the reward is so great. If we are going to reach heaven, which I pray all of us do, we all have to learn. Learn the truth, learn God's word, and apply it to our lives so it becomes a part of us. If there's anyone here today who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those who are children of God, would like to pray as your brother on behalf. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.